Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, you lovely lot, and welcome to this week's edition of Tuesday Night Jaw, brought to you by the Distraction Pieces Network. So this is the usual Q&A episode. I brought it forward a week. And also you're going to be getting a bonus episode this week as well, which I recorded the other day, which is another watch along, but it's for it's a couple of matches from a Japanese company that doesn't exist anymore. So I did say on Twitter, and I might mention it on the podcast, I can't remember, that I was thinking about doing sort of like bonus episodes that sort of steer away from the idea of the other watch-alongs in terms of helping out independent promotions, and there'd just be little bonus episodes where I watch matches and talk about matches that I enjoy from slightly left-of-field places. So that's coming up. I'm probably going to drop it on Friday of this week. I think, yeah, Friday's probably a logical day to drop it on. So this is obviously out on Tuesday, and that'll be out on Friday. So there should be two episodes for you to listen to. The bonus one's a little bit shorter. It's probably around about half an hour, as this one will probably be usually about an hour, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more. So of course, Distraction Pieces Network are killing it at the minute. There's loads of podcasts on our network for you to check out. Of course, there's Hardcore Listing, Say Why to Drugs, the Distraction Pieces podcast, and of course, the brand new podcast on our network, Mom and Mama, who have dropped their first episode officially for this last week. They've dropped it. Yeah, the episode one of that's out, so make sure you check that out as well, because we're super excited to have them on our little network. Obviously, there's a million and one things going on, especially in terms of content, which might lead me onto something at the end, and progress are no different. We're uploading loads of shows onto our on-demand system that are from other companies, as well as our Twitch content. We've got Progress TV, which is going on on Twitch. So make sure you go and check that out. Adam does a little wake-up show every day, which is a load of fun. Sort of eases you into the day and tells you what's coming up on the channel. We were streaming a North wrestling show last night, which was really cool to give those guys a bit of a platform. And we're working with a few different other companies dotted around the UK and possibly the world, I don't know, to show out. To show some of their products as well as our own. We're doing something on Friday around about 4 o'clock, which is one of Adam's mental ideas. So I don't know how much he's told everyone about it. So I'm just going to shroud it in mystery, but it will be involving me on Twitch at 4 o'clock on Friday. So keep an eye out for that. But we are doing some stuff over on Twitch as well as our on-demand service to keep you guys entertained during this quarantine. Right, okay, so let's get on to this week's edition of the podcast. Like I said, it is a Q&A one, so I've got a few questions to get through as well. But I did mention on Twitter that the day of recording is sadly the four-year anniversary since Chris Travis passed away. So throughout the show, I'm just going to tell you some silly little Trav stories from over the years involving myself, and generally just sort of celebrate his life, because he is sadly missed, not just in the world of wrestling, but in the world at large as well. One of the funniest people that I've ever met, and someone who really looked out for me and my friends when we first started out in wrestling. So it's always a real sad one, but I know Trav would want us to celebrate his life, so you know, just sending love to his family on something that's just incredibly tough, as well as his really close friends. So Kirby, Liggs, Spud, Juice, Danny, Joey, who you know were as thick as thieves, as they say, really close bond in wrestling. So sending nothing but love to those guys as well on a really difficult day. But hopefully I can do my little bit to celebrate his life and to give you a reason to sort of laugh and chuckle today. So get ready, grab a brew, relax, and welcome to this week's edition of Tuesday Night Jaw. Okay, we've had some good questions come up on this. So let's get cracking on some questions. So first question is from Darren, who is our merch guy, who I've mentioned a few times on the podcast, and you would have definitely met if you'd been to a Progress show. I love Darren because he always talks to me about really weird and obscure things in wrestling that my brain doesn't really usually think about. So we were discussing this for a while, and he reminded me this week to use the question on the podcast. So the question is, should aspiring wrestlers copyright their gimmick if it is unique to stop anyone else using it? This is a really interesting question, because if I was being brutally honest, I really don't know the answer to that. I don't understand the legality. Because you can obviously, you can register your stage performance name, and I'm pretty sure that goes through Equity and stuff like that. So and it's something that I know a few people have done. So if you have a gimmick name, I assume that's something that would be quite easy to do, or a performer's name is probably a more accurate description. But I think it's incredibly hard, especially on an independent level, to copyright a gimmick, because wrestling is just naturally, even if it isn't as crude as stealing a gimmick, there's always the homage to what came before. Obviously you always have your unique performers and people that create something that's completely their own, but there's definitely people, especially when you're starting out, that you kind of build your character on your influences, whether that's another professional wrestler or something from a TV series or a movie star or something of that ilk. So I think it's a difficult it's a difficult one, but I think it's something definitely in terms of like stage names. If you've got a unique performer's name, that's kind of a real name, because I don't think you can be called, you know, like Cowboy Bill or whatever, and register that. I mean, that's a bit too whatever, but yeah, maybe looking into to copyrighting your gimmick name or your performance name. It's definitely something, but I think that's an interesting question to bring up that I genuinely don't know the answer to. It's something that might change over the next few years, maybe, as performers become more and start. I think it's already happening. I think performers are already becoming a lot more savvy than they were, especially when I started out, and that's a really good thing. They are very, very aware of their characters and their brand, so it's something that would be an extension of that. So yeah, we'll see what happens, but on an independent level, yeah, that's an interesting question. Second question was asked to me by Adam, our social media guy, on the Progress stream. He asked, should we bring back a live podcast? I definitely think we should do a live podcast. I don't know if it's going to become a series or something, but I've been toying with the idea of doing a live podcast for TNJ. But my setup, I don't really have a setup for Twitch. So I was kind of like, I've been umming and ahhing about what platform I would do it on and how I would do it and what the subject would be. I was thinking maybe like Instagram Live seems to be one that's quite popular. I would tie into a watch along. That would make sense because we could do it live together and I could answer questions and there could be interactions during that. So I know we used something called Zoom the other day for a hangout via Progress, which was maybe on the day of the show. And everyone sort of joined in, and then I think there's a chapter that was put up, and they could watch along to that. So maybe that's another platform. But if you're listening to this, and this is more of a question for you guys, like if a live podcast, whether it be a watch along or something else, is something that interests you, let me know, because I mentioned it at the start with content. At the minute, it's a weird time because it seems like the perfect time to be doing more content and producing more content. But the other issue of that is that everyone's producing more content and everyone's doing something. So you're constantly, not fighting, but you're constantly going up against people that are producing content. So, you know, I mean, like just mainstream stuff, you know, look at Disney Plus has just dropped, which is a huge thing. The network is free, or aspects of it are free, as I noticed the other day. Can't watch ECW shows, which is a shame. So the network's free, Netflix are updating a load of stuff, a lot of people are on Twitch now with like live content. So there's this constant influx of like content for people. So I think it is quite hard for people to sort of cherry pick through stuff. So I think convenience comes into it a lot. I think it needs to be an easy digestible or an easily digestible thing to be involved in, especially I'm speaking, you know, from personal experience, that, you know, how many times you look at your Netflix list and you've got the really arty, cool, independent movie that you've wanted to watch for ages, but you're kind of like, I don't know if I can commit to 2.5 hours of that, or I'll just stick this on instead. So it's an interesting time for content, and I'm at this moment, I feel like I want to pull back a little bit, almost to sort of not overexpose / overmake content at the minute. So it's something I'm toying with. I'm toying with the idea of maybe like taking a week between podcasts, or taking a week and then doing a watch along with a bonus episode. So I'm kind of toying with the idea at the minute, just because I'm curious. Like, I've noticed things like engagement's been really low with the podcast you know, in recent weeks, which is understandable. So I'm curious if, you know, if you're listening to this and you have your own thoughts and opinions, either drop me a DM on Twitter or tweet me or something and just let me know, because it's a curious time, and I'm interested, and not in a cynical way. I'm not interested because I want to know what your watching patterns are or your, you know, how you're absorbing content and stuff like that. I'm just curious because I know that I'm getting to a point where I'm like, fucking hell, I've got so much to watch, you know, and like I'm finding it hard to make decisions or commit to stuff. So yeah, just let me know what your opinions are on that. Right, next question. Is this real? Is this the real life, or is it just fantasy? That's obviously, I think Adam inspired people to ask me questions on the Twitch stream, and that's in regards to me saying that you can ask me about life. Is it real? Is it the real life, or is it just fantasy? I don't know. Freddie Mercury, at the minute, it feels like a weird subreddit named a boring dystopia. It's weird. It feels like the end of the world some days, but it's really boring. I never thought the apocalypse was going to be so mundane and like we were just going to be stuck indoors forever and have to wear hazmat suits to go to Asda. Like, it's been, you know, Hollywood has promised me more, and I've been undersold. The zombie apocalypse. First of all, there isn't any zombies. It's just disappointing. There's just no one around. So yeah, I must admit, at the minute, it does feel like fantasy. But we'll see. We're only a week into our official lockdown, coming up to 2 weeks. You know, and like, it's rough because obviously, and I'll be brutally honest again. As I try to always be over the podcast in this, it's like there's days where I'm laughing and joking about it and the world goes on and everything's all right. But there's other days as well where I just like, it's rough, man. And like, you really feel it. And I think that's just human. I think that's normal. I think most people are like that. But, you know, I went to the supermarket the other week and like, it just proper took the wind out of my sails and like really bummed me out. And there's days where, you know, I'm all right and I'm pretty chipper and everything's good and whatever. So, yeah, it's difficult, you know. Just try and keep positive. Try and look after yourselves. Like, you know, I know everyone's streaming their workouts and putting home workout content out. And I know there's you know, it's the internet and there's people that are cynical. And I know there's people that will slag that off. But I think it's a positive thing because, A, you know, exercise is obviously fundamental and needed, but it does help your mental health. And I definitely get inspired or I get encouraged when I see someone posting a workout or something and I'm like, oh, that's cool, and like I ever, you know, get involved in it or whatever. So yeah, it's just that thing of like trying to take care of yourself, like both physically and mentally, and you know, ride the good days, ride the bad days, and hopefully we go back to normal real life soon. All right, let's take a break from the questions. All right, first Trav story. Not gonna lie, I had to filter some of these out. So one of my, I met Trav when I was really early into my career. I was probably about 16. And it was like Trav, Spod, Liggs, a guy called Cameron Knight, and a guy called Jack Hazard that were all... They all live near each other, but they all sort of travel together and they're always on shows together. So I sort of met them when I was 16. And Trav is someone that, like me and CJ Banks, Juice, that always looked up to. And we always really wanted to work him. So the first time we ever worked him is in this really, really, really terrible match, which was at GPW. So the GPW have something now which is awesome called the Crazy Cruiser 8, which is a light heavyweight tournament with 8 people in it, hence Crazy Cruiser 8, like Cruiserweight B. And it was born out of this idea. So the first ever Crazy Cruiser 8, like anything under that name, was an 8-man scramble, which was about as good as you thought it was. And it had Spot in it, it had Liggs in it, it had Trav in it, and a few other people. Danny Hope was in there. Power Rangers Danny Hope, that's a reference that about four people will get. And myself and Juice were in there. And it was just bad. It was just like all of us trying to do high spots. And then there's a bit where I'm trying to do like, not a famous, a rocker dropper on Juice, and Jack Hazard comes in and interrupts it, and it's one of the worst matches I think I've ever been involved in, and I've been involved in some bad matches, even to the day where, like, you know, I see Legs and it'll come up in conversation, we'll start chuckling about it. So we did get to work Trav quite early on, but we were in a tag team at the time called WKD, and GPW had like four tag teams, or built four tag teams, and one of those tag teams was the original Project Ego. So the original Project Ego was Trav and a guy called Scotty Hex. Kirby came in later, and then they went on and became the megastars that they were within British wrestling. So I don't know if it was the debut of Project Ego. It was definitely the debut of Project Ego in GPW. So there's a storyline where, like, we had done something. We'd either won a match or we'd done a promo or something, and Trav and Scotty Hex attack us and lay us out. I'm sure Trav gives me a double underhook pile driver because I was the only person that was stupid enough to take it. And yeah, so we get laid out. And Trav grabs a mic, and like Scotty grabs a mic, and they're doing this promo, and it's blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and we are Project Ego. And Trav like pulls the mic away from his mouth while he's saying it in a really broad Sheffield, Yorkshire accent. So on the UKFF, which was a fan forum message board back in the day, yeah, this is how long ago this was, people were like, I'm not quite sure what the new team name is. I heard it was Project Eagle. So the first ever introduction of Project Ego, there was the UKFF thought they were called Project Eagle because of Trav's Yorkshire accent. But yeah, it always makes me chuckle that we were somewhat part of history, and every time everyone's like, oh yeah, Project Ego started with this, blah blah blah, it just always reminds me of Project Eagle, which is a confusing name, but yeah, that was one of my, just a stupid little story that always makes me chuckle when I think about it. Alright, let's go back to the question. So we got a two-parter. First question, you can swap one WWE performer with a New Japan performer, who's getting swapped and why? Okay, because they've got to go both. Yeah, it's an exchange, isn't it? All right, so it's like, oh, that's really difficult. it's really difficult because if I say a New Japan guy, everyone's just going to get really angry. I can think of a few New Japan guys that I would I think would be interested in WWE. I wouldn't say what I'd like to see in WWE. But there would be interesting. I think Ospreay is one that's a curious case. I just don't think it's ever going to happen, but I think that's a curious one. So I'm going to pick Ospreay from New Japan. And I'm going to send the other way. I'm going to send Ali, Mustafa Ali. So I'm going to swap Ospreay and Ali around. Ospreay to WWE because I think they would do good business doing him versus Ricochet on WWE. As we all know, that was a big rivalry and one that produced very, very good matches. Will Ospreay now, as the heavyweight guy, it brings up an interesting scenario with a few different matches and stuff. So I think that would be interesting. Just Will in WWE. And Ali in New Japan, just in terms of just being a junior heavyweight, I think would be really exciting. And yeah, I'm trying to think of what faction he'd be in. Because Bullet Club would just be too obvious. Maybe he just replaces Will in Chaos. It's not a bad fit. Yeah. I'm going to swap Ali and Ospreay, which I'm sure people have got angry about. I'm sorry. It's not real. It's not really going to happen. Don't worry. All right. What was question number two in this? So they can transfer the wrestling ability of any living wrestler into your body. So that I have their skills. Who do you pick? Jim also puts, hope you're well, Matt. Thanks, Jim. I'm all right. I hope you are as well, mate. So I can transfer the wrestling ability of any living wrestler into my body. I mean, that's some Chardon Graps shit, that right there. Oh, see, I don't know. That's difficult. Because I don't want to be like, oh, I'll just transfer Braun Strowman's wrestling ability into my body, because that'd just be weird. Old 5'10/11. I can't remember how tall I am anymore. I mean, I'd be billed at 6 foot, even though I'd be like 5'10, really. I'm going to go with Masato Yoshino, because he was the guy that, when I was a kid, I always wanted to wrestle like him. Him, Shima, Dragon Kid were like, as well as like Amazing Red and Spanky and Paul London. I loved the cruiserweights and the junior heavyweights when I was like starting out wrestling and stuff, even though I had absolutely no ability to do any of their stuff, which was very evident if you ever watched me wrestle. That was the style I always wanted to wrestle like, but I was just shit, so could never pull it off. So I'll take Masato Yoshino. No, Yoshino, sorry, from Dragon Gate, because I used to do some of his spots terribly. But yeah, if you're not familiar with Yoshino's work, he was in a tag team with a guy called Naruki Doi, and they were called Speed Muscle. They had a couple of matches in TNA. I think they were part of a Team Japan one year in an X Cup, and that's what led to them wrestling Motor City Machine Guns, which is on YouTube somewhere. You might have to dig around a little bit, but it's one of the best tag team sprints I've ever seen in my life. It's definitely well worth your time. But yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with Masato Yoshino. Failing that, I'd absolutely just be Braun Strowman in my body, because that would just be funny. Right, another question. Let's have a quick look. Which wrestlers you know are coping the best and coping the worst with this lockdown via social media? Personally, I'm loving Big Guns Joe's slow descent into madness. I give it a week until we're getting him talking like Brando in Apocalypse Now about bench pressing. That is a genuinely great question. Don't worry about Big Guns Joe. That's just him normally. This is not cabin fever kicking in. Joe is just... I think it was Little Joe Nelson commented on one of them and was just like, I'm sure it was a Big Joe post of, I'm glad we're getting to see the real you. And there's a lot of that. And they just hit home, because a lot of the wrestlers that I know are all absolutely insane. Like, James Drake's been really quiet, which just makes me super suspicious. So, Ethan Allen's slowly losing his mind. Just ever so slowly. I speak to him and Luke, both of them from the Young Guns, occasionally, because we've got a little group chat where we share matches and stuff with. But yeah, Ethan's just insane. So it's difficult with the crazy people, because they're just like this normally. Egan's, as of talking right now, which is about nearly 11 o'clock, is doing Corona FM on Twitch, which so if you don't know, Egan is a man of many talents, and one of them is actually a very good DJ. So he's doing like a live DJ feed on Twitch. So if you look for at Chris2020 on Twitter, that's his Twitter handle. He's tweeting out his Twitch link. So if you want to listen to some beats while he probably says mad shit, do that because Egan's insane. G-Man doing stuff on Twitch is hilarious as well, because again, G-Man's just crazy in the best way possible. A shout out to Yestin Reese for doing his little TikTok dancing. That popped up on my timeline. So maybe Yestin takes both coping the best and coping the worst. I think that's a up for debate, isn't it? But yeah, actually, no. Yestin's coping with the best. Coping with the worst is Lucy Openshaw. who's technically not a wrestler but is in wrestling. Because if I have to look at her do another TikTok thing, I'm going to scream into the abyss. So if you listen to this, Lucy, just stop it. Just stop. Just put TikTok down. Stop it. Okay? There you go. There's my review of people losing their minds on social media. To be honest with you, I put the thing up yesterday about me walking around with no underwear on under my shorts, singing Tom Petty's Free Falling to the lyrics of Free Balling. And that's a genuine thing that happened. And I don't know. Number one, I'm worried that that happened in real life. And then number two, I'm worried that I sort of shared that on social media. But hey, I'm coping. All right, so we've got a few more questions left. All right, cool. Second Trav story. This is a good one, as I chuckle. Okay, so during the feud with Project Ego, the original Project Ego, Scotty Hex, we ended up doing this show in a place called Highton in Liverpool. Now, if you're from the Northwest, or you're from Liverpool, and I've just said Highton, you immediately go, ooh, yeah, it's one of those places. It's a little rough around the edges, so... which is, you know, it's just the North, man. Just get used to it. So we ended up doing this show, and it was like it was an associate show of GPW. It was not a GPW show, so it was like someone's dad or wrestler that put on this show. So we turn up at this venue, and it's a working men's club in the middle of Highton, which is again we used to work. Every show we did was pretty much in a working men's club, but this just had barbed wire around everywhere, not just the top of the building, just everywhere. It looked like looked like a scene from like 1917. Is that the First World War movie with the trenches? It was just covered in barbed wire. So we were a bit like, okay. And I'm pretty sure it was on like a council estate, and it was just kids knocking around, and it was just a bit like, all right. So we ended up going to go look for food, as you usually do for every time you get to a venue, you drop stuff off, go looking for food. And we were in this cafe, and there was a lad that doesn't wrestle anymore, who had a long beard, who sat down having a coffee, and this chav just, scally is more accurate, but this chav just set fire to, like, got his lighter out and set fire to his beard. And that was kind of like an indication of just like how the show was going to go. So it was me and CJ Banks, who you hear me refer to as Juice, because it's a long story, against Trav and Scotty Hex. And what was happening was we made a plan where, like, if you had a car, because we were worried about leaving our cars outside, is after the match, you got changed and you got in your car and you drove to, I think it was a Toby Carvery. I think that was the safe haven away. It was like a Toby Carvery nearby, and we were all going to meet up there. So we didn't have a car, so we weren't too worried. But we were either first on or second on, and I think we went 4 minutes, because Trav was like, I just don't want to be a heel in front of this crowd. And do you know what? I don't blame him, because to be honest with you, I didn't really want to be a babyface in front of that crowd. So we had like a 4 minute match that involved Trav doing the Super Mario stomp, which is where he like set us up, sat down like right near each other, and then he would jump and he'd bop on both our heads. So it was a double stomp on both our heads. I was always the first person, so sorry, Juice, always got the worst of the second stomp. And we had this like really, really just thrown together quick match, and literally just like, I think they went over and it was like, oh, you winners, Project Ego, wee! And like, literally, we said that and like, we just got out of Dodge. So we stuck around to the end, I think, because we were leaving with someone that was in the main event. We just come out and like, there was just a hive, a swarm of scals outside that were like talking to us. And luckily, me and Juice were all right. They quite liked us. But yeah, that was genuine fear of like our lives and our tires getting slashed. Yeah, I'll never forget Highton. It's the only time I ever wrestled in Highton. And to be honest with you, I think that'll do. All right, back to some questions then. This is the question. This is a really good question. All right, so the original Tetris, associate each piece to a wrestler. Here are the bizarre names that are given from the original instruction book. So someone's attached a picture to this. So right, we'll go through. So there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names. So first up is Orange Ricky, which is the horizontal, like long one. with a little block on top on the right hand side. So that's Orange Ricky. So who's Orange Ricky? Orange Ricky is Kenta Kobashi, because I feel like that's a terrible 90s American wrestling name that they would give to Kenta Kobashi if he ever wrestled in America, because they can't pronounce Kobashi. And it's in, like, in reference to, like, his ring gear and the Orange Crush. So yeah, Orange Ricky, Kenta Kobashi, all right. So Blue Ricky is the next one, which is the same shape, but the vertical block is on top, on the left-hand side. So Blue Ricky. Blue Ricky would be his tag team partner. Oh yeah, this has just come to me. His tag team partner, Blue Ricky, would be Yon Akiyama. Again, in reference to Blue Thunder Bomb and his gear, and they would be a tag team. So it would be Orange Ricky and Blue Ricky. The primary colours. That would be their tag team name. I'm actually quite proud of that. Oh, I'm slowly losing my mind. All right, so the next one up is the Cleveland Z, or Z if you're American, which is the one that is shaped like a Z. It's the one that's in the right. So it looks like a Z. All right. This is really hard to do on audio. Just find the picture. It's on there on Twitter. So Cleveland Z. Cleveland. Cleveland Z. All right, I've got no. It's another tag team because there's another Z. Cleveland Z would be Brian Pillman. Even though he's from Cincinnati, Ohio, he's still Ohio, and we could just pretend that he's called. He's from Cleveland. So Cleveland Zed's going to be Brian Pillman, and then his tag team partner, who is called Rhode Island Zed, so it's the Z shape the other way around, is going to be someone from New York. I don't know, Brian Pillman, and I'm trying to think of like a crossover during that time. Tommy Dreamer? No, he's from Philadelphia, is he? Oh, God. I'm really bad with American geography. Rhode Island. Oh, it can be Taz. Rhode Island Zed's Taz and Cleveland Zed's Brian Pillman. And they can be called ZZ Top. That's their tag team name because it's the Zeds and they're always on top of other bricks. Oh, man, I'm losing my mind. There's three to go here, guys. All right, Hero, which is just the long horizontal boy. Or, you know, vertical boy, if you wanted to switch around. So, Hero. Because he is a bit of a hero, this one. He always comes in, slots in where he needs to be, saves the day. So, he needs to be a baby face. It's tough. I'm going to say Tommy Dreamer because he's in my mind. Yeah, it's Tommy Dreamer. Slots in when you need him. He's the hero. Always a favorite. Everyone's always happy to see him. So there you go. Tommy Dreamer is the hero block. Okay, so the next block is called the T-Wee, which is the upside down T or the right side T. T-Wee. All right. It's going to be the T-Wee Buzzsaw Travis Banks. There you go, you can have that. All right, the last one is just a big old square block, and it's called Smash Boy, which is a great name. Dead simple, innit? Smash Boy, Chris Ridgeway, just comes in and smashes things up. He's all square and stuff. Yeah, Smash Boy is Ridgeway. I love that question. It went on far too long, but hey-ho, there we go. if you had to cast one wrestler as Batman and one as the Joker, who are you going for? Bonus points for Alfred too. A few people replied to this already on Twitter, which was good. Someone said Rampage Brown with Killer Croc, and I was like, yes, that's a great shout. My Batman, I'm not going to overthink it, is going to be Rey Mysterio, because he's got a mask. And my Joker is going to be Joker-era Sting from TNA. Yep, that's happening. And my Alfred, he would make a good Alfred. Johnny Saint would make a good Alfred. There you go. So Batman's Rey Mysterio, Joker is Sting, and Alfred is Johnny Saint. There you go. All right, I'm gonna tell one more Trav story. Right, so it's just one of them things of like, it's just a really good example of of his personality and just him always making me chuckle. So I went to a PCW show years and years and years and years ago, and I had to double check that this match actually happened. So it was Trav versus Joey Hayes, and I think it was during when Joey Hayes was champ and was a big villain, and it wasn't so much like a blood feud, but it was a big strong rivalry that had been going on for a while. So we'd ended up in if you're from Preston, the nightclub that PCW used to run or still runs, it's been called a million names. So it's I think it's called Evoke. It's probably changed its name now, but I always remember it as Lava Ignite because I used to live in Preston. And then if you're slightly older than me, it's Tokyo Joe's. So we're in Lava Ignite, and they've got like booths, you know, them VIP booths that you pay like 50 quid for and you get a fishbowl or whatever. We're sat in the booths, with a few people that were I think like partners of wrestlers or there because they knew wrestlers and stuff like that. So it was right by sort of like where the hard cam is facing the rings, which is quite a prominent position. So I'll never forget it because they're making their entrances, and Trav comes out first, and then Trav's like, proper like stone face, like try and sell it and stuff like that, turns around and like sees me and goes, "Oh, all right, Matty lad." Just completely breaks character, and it always just popped me, and I was just like chuckling to myself, and then sort of like I regained my composure and stuff, and he was doing his thing, and then Joey Hayes comes out with his belt, and like Joey's like this big villain, he's giving shit and stuff, and Joey sees me and Joey goes, "Alright, my lad," and like completely breaks character again, and it always just really, really made me chuckle that both of them, you know, despite being super professional in the moment in the zone, it's just that nice little moment when they saw their mates and stuff that they just turn into these stupid, silly little boys. But yeah, two people I always loved working with and always loved spending time with. So yeah, again, you know, today. Today hurts a lot, and it's always a rough one. And we were meant to be doing a tribute on the Progress show that was going to happen on Sunday. And to be honest with you, that was something that I really wasn't looking forward to, because that was going to be a tough one to be, you know, in front of an audience doing it. But yeah, again, just send all the love to Trav's family and his friends, and you know the guys, you know, Liggs, Kirby, Spud, Joey, Danny Juice, those boys, you know, they were really, really tight, and they went through a lot together, and they deserve your love today. So yeah, big shout out to those guys. All right, you've got three questions left. Right, I'm going to go with the release of Disney Plus, what is the most underrated Disney movie? See, right, so I got Disney Plus because Star Wars and Marvel, straight up, just lay that out there. I wanted to watch Mandalorian as well, you know, standard. I'm not a massive Disney head. It's not that I don't like Disney movies, I'm not, you know, but I'm not one of those crazy people that got like Disney sleeves and like, you know, name their fucking dogs Tinkerbell or whatever. I'm not that far. I'm somewhere in the neutral, like, yeah, it's fine. Underrated Disney movie though. So you remember, like, if you're a kid of a certain age, you used to just have VHSs, and especially when you're into grandparents, they'd always have like a very set amount of VHSs on VHS, and they'd just let you stick it on. So I had Basil the Great Mouse Detective that my granddad gave me, and I love that movie. So if you've never seen Basil the Great Mouse Detective, it's just a mouse that's a rip-off of Sherlock Holmes, but I think he like lives under he lives under 10 Baker Street in like a little mouse house. That's a great film. Fucked me up as a kid though, like proper, there's some scary bits in that movie, man, proper scarred me. Someone's going on about it on Twitter like a few months ago about the bat, just saying watch out for the bat. I don't know if that's on Disney Plus, I've not looked yet, but that's a very good underrated Disney movie. I'm going to go with that. What are the best wrestling feuds that never got a conclusion, e.g. due to injury or other circumstances? That's an interesting one. I don't think it's the best, but and maybe because it's fresh in my mind because of the whole ruthless aggression era talk and stuff like that. But when they were doing the Triple H Steve Austin power trip storyline, two man power trip, whatever you want to call it, and Hunter got hurt, he tore his quad, didn't he, in a match, and that was cut short. I'm always curious to like, oh, what if Triple H was around for the invasion? Because the invasion, obviously, is heavily disputed situation and stuff. I must admit, I've watched the Ruthless Aggression series now, and it's a good series. I think if you weren't there at the time, it's good to watch just to sort of get your head around it. I don't think it's as good as the Monday Night War series that they did, because I kind of lost my interest after the first couple of episodes because it was about stuff that was like, yeah, whatever. And of course, you know, the old saying of the victors get to write the history, you know, there is a lot of that goes on. And it does sort of celebrate stuff that wasn't as good as they say it was. But the episode about the invasion's a really interesting episode about the invasion is a really interesting episode, purely because they kind of talk about the Triple H thing, and then they also talk about how the invasion wasn't as good as it could have been because there was a realization that all these AOL Time Warner contracts prevented Scott Hall, you know, Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, Rey Mysterio, Goldberg, and all this. So I recommend that episode because I have that same curiosity of it would have been interesting of like if Triple H was around, and them having to sort of bounce around people from the Alliance in WWF, and like some made sense, like Jericho made sense, you know, and then even to an extent, Austin made sense, it didn't because he went to ECW and was really angry at Eric Bischoff, and then he wasn't in ECW long enough to really be an ECW guy. But, you know, people like the Dudley boys made sense. There you go. That's someone that was there that made sense. That's always a curious one for me. So I'm probably going to say that, just the power trip storyline, and see how it would have ran into the invasion angle. All right, I've got one question left, and I'm going to need a image prompt here, because I found a picture that was going to help me. All right, one question left, and it's a good one, and it's obviously a football one because we've been without football without football questions. I've got to pick my 90s Serie A five-a-side team. All right, first of all, in goal, Gigi Buffon, 100%. Defender. Oh, shit. This is where I should say defender last. Fabio Cannavaro. I'm going to have two defenders because Italy. I'm going to have Franco Baresi. Is he 90s? Yeah, he's 90s. I'm classing him as 90s. I'm going to have Franco Baresi and Paolo Maldini. No, I'm sorry, Cannavaro, I love you, man. But yeah, I'm going to have Buffon, Baresi, Maldini. Obviously, Baresi's going to be sweeping up. In midfield, Zidane? No. Controversial. I'm going to go with Gattuso and Totti. Yes. No, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5. Oh, no. I've got to go with 1. Oh, shit. All right, so this is a mess. So Buffon and goal. Baresi, Maldini. All right, I've got 2 left. Ah, shit. Batistuta up front. 100% Batistuta up front. Not a question about that. So I need like a midfielder that can do a bit of everything. Because I want to like pick Pirlo, but he wasn't. No. I'm going to go with Gattuso wasn't really 90s either, was he? I'm going to go attacking, and I'm going to go with Totti. So Buffon, Baresi, Maldini, Totti, Batistuta. That is all out attack for a Serie A team, that. There you go. That's my 90s Serie A five-a-side team. All right, that's all the questions. Thank you very much for asking me some questions. Really, genuinely, really appreciate you just sort of taking some time out of your day and just firing them off and stuff. And if you've ever got any questions at any point, just DM me or like tweet me and stuff, and I'll try and save them for the next episode. I do forget. There's always questions that I forget because it's never in one thread, and I'm just an idiot sometimes. But I do really appreciate it. So yeah, bonus episode is probably going to come out Friday. And then after that, like I said, I'm currently umming and ahhing about maybe taking a week, you know, week off, week on, week off, week off, week on, week off, and so forth. So I'll keep you guys updated on Twitter for that. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening to this. And we'll see you next time on Tuesday night. Jaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.